The following program is a sports handicapping show. That's right, we will be discussing sports betting and all kinds of other gambling stuff, including game predictions. As you know, not every bet will win, but we do our best. Feel free to use this information at your own risk, and remember, wager wisely, folks.
Broadcasting from the Vegas Video Network studios, live from the Las Vegas Strip, Covers.com presents Vegas Sports Day. And now from the sports betting capital of the world, here are your hosts, Teddy and the Professor.
It's Thursday in Sin City, and you are watching Vegas Sports Day, the pulse of the sports betting world. I'm your host, Teddy Covers, joined, as always, by my esteemed colleague, the Professor Dave Malinsky.
Coming up today, Charles Barkley has pretty openly said the NBA sucks this year. We agree with him, and we're going to break down just why. A new album from Bruce Springsteen coming out in a couple of weeks, but tonight we're going to talk about Thunder Road as it applies to the TNT nightcap. And the play of the daytime, we're going to go from the legal courts to the basketball courts. In this case, we're going to win because the defense rests.
Dave, first take on a Thursday. Lots of great basketball on tap last night. We saw some wild come-from-behind wins. I know the Duke, North Carolina one wasn't real good for your pockets. But what's your first take on a Thursday? What did you see last night that you want to share with our viewing audience?
You know, we could talk about how compelling that doubleheader was. The Syracuse-Georgetown, the Duke-North Carolina, arguably the two greatest rivalries in the country, both going down to the wire. We have to talk about Baylor. Now, we did a postmortem a week and a half ago about the way that we were seeing a Baylor team not show the mental toughness, not show the leadership from Drew on the sidelines, that they needed to be a true elite team. Remember, this is a team that was undefeated, ranked in the top five not too long ago. They've got a couple of NBA guys in the starting lineup, including a lottery pick. But we questioned the mental toughness in that postmortem piece. And boy, look at what happened last night. Kansas, in Waco, on Baylor's court, went on a 32-4 run. I'm not sure in our lifetimes we'll ever see a team rated as highly as Baylor completely lose their composure and get dominated, humiliated on their own court as badly as that happened. Now it's going to be gut check time. Let's see if they can recover from that. We're not sure. If we didn't think they had the moxie before, there may be some issues that we can exploit a little bit going forward. Okay, a little under the weather today.
I feel like I'm under the weather every day. It's been non-ending over here. But
you still brought something in for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's not where I'm going today. I don't want to talk about being sick. Yeah, you tough it up, you know, you suck it up. That's if the NFL guys can do it, I can do it.
Baylor didn't do it.
If Michael Jordan can score 38 with the flu, I can come in and do the show, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, if Michael can score 38 with the flu, I can. And that's, you know, you're over under maybe 1.5.
I'm taking under, you know, and I'm taking it pretty strong. If I get to the free throw line, I'll be lucky to get a shot. But I got to talk about some numbers. And basically, the numbers I'm going to talk about are you guys. At the end of every show, I always say, you know, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. And I know you guys are busy, but you know, Dave and I started talking about doing this show last spring, and we had a bunch of production meetings all summer long, and then fall rolled around, and we started doing rehearsals, and we do the first show, and it's a disaster. You can go back and look in the archives. It might be the worst show ever. October 17th. So we're about 3.5 months in to doing the show every day, and we just surpassed a milestone. Over the course of the last month, we've had over 100,000 viewers watching our live stream. I'm blown away. Those are phenomenal numbers. Thank you. And keep watching. You know, this show, again, it's all about you. We're going to do letters right here, answer your questions. But I'm really impressed with the momentum this show is building. And keep it up, guys. Thanks for watching. And don't be shy about telling your friends, tweeting your friends, putting it on Facebook, whatever you want to do. Great stuff. 100,000 viewers for Vegas Sports Day. And we're just getting started. All right, let's start by going to the mailbag for today. And we're going to begin with this email from Pete. Pete says, watching two of my dogs get blown out last night. Let's be realistic. He did send this two nights ago, so it was actually two nights. But watching two of my dogs get blown out, I thought of something that Alan Boston said in his most recent Chad Millman podcast. Basically, that college training and preparation had become so good that the teams had less flat spots. Have college programs really learned to eliminate flat spots?
Been a lot of changes on the college landscape. It's not so much that they've eliminated flat spots, because flat is when you're coming down from a high. We don't see as many highs anymore. This week would be a good example of that. Big showdown game supposedly on Tuesday, Florida-Kentucky. Not that big a game on the court. We can't get any quotes from Kentucky players saying, oh, we're looking forward to playing Florida, because you know why? Most of them hadn't played Florida before. The letdowns and look-aheads happen a lot of times when guys are going to be around for 3 or 4 years. They're in the program. Rivalries develop. Certain games matter more than others. Now, if you're a freshman at Kentucky, or even sophomore like Jones, you're going to the NBA. This is your training ground for that. It doesn't matter. Playing Florida, LSU, Tennessee, that's not that important to you, because your ultimate goal is something a little bit different. That's a big part of where this landscape has changed. Also, so much more on television than ever before. So that if you're playing half your games in front of the cameras, not any one of them stands out much more than the others. But I think more than anything else, it is that early out issue. Let's take Kentucky as a good example. We found no quotes on Tuesday of Kentucky players looking ahead to playing Florida. But now let's go to yesterday. Seton Hall is playing Rutgers. That is a backyard rivalry. Let's go to what Jordan Theodore had to say about that one, because we think this is very significant. Theodore says, it's not just us playing against Rutgers. Now we are playing against family. Guys I know like the back, our families will be rooting against each other. That's what rivalries are about. Our alumni, everybody, they're going to say, we don't care if you lose all your games during the season, just don't lose to Rutgers. Now that's the type of game you get up for and can have a letdown afterwards, but there are not nearly as many of those as there used to be.
Yeah, I've found that in my personal handicapping strategy for college basketball, I'm not putting a lot of weight or emphasis on these traditional spot plays. The market tends to spot them and adjust appropriately. What I found, again, personally, and everyone's got their own handicapping style, and if you don't, you probably need to develop your own handicapping style if you're going to be successful at this long term. But the thing that's worked for me is not concentrating on the spots as much as concentrating on the undervalued and overvalued teams in the betting markets. And this is a great time of year for that. You know, you look at non-conference play and into the first couple weeks of January, and guess what? Teams' power ratings are pretty well in a very limited range. You know, the betting markets feel like they have a good read on just about every team in all of college basketball. So what happens when a team morphs from there, either good or bad? Well, you can find yourself supporting the same team, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8 times over the course of the final 6 weeks of the regular season in college hoops, just because the markets don't have the morphs correctly. They don't have the teams moving up. They don't have the teams moving down. They're looking at aggregate averages. So not to say that college basketball is spot-proof, but it's not my primary focus, Dave. I don't think it is yours either.
Now our focus, after those wonderful college games last night, turns to the NBA. It's been pretty ugly. It's getting even uglier. So in the postmortem, we're going to see what we can do about it. You're watching Vegas Sports Day.
Are you looking for the latest odds, the fastest scores, the most important trends, and the best matchups and stats? Are you looking for the key late-breaking information that can make you a winner? Well, Covers.com has the answer. The world's largest sports betting community gives you a front row seat in the heart of the action, from the opening lines to the final scores. If you want to stay ahead of the game, Covers covers the numbers.
Oh, hello there. My name is Brandon Gooch Hahn, host of Awkward Silence 2.1. And when I'm not living vicariously through Chris Phillips, I'm on VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Okay, guys, you really got to scrub up today. The postmortem's going to put the NBA on the operating table. You don't want to spill some of this stuff on your shoes.
You know, this has been a most unusual NBA season, to say the least. And it's not the first time, it may not be the last, that we do a postmortem focus on what's going on league-wide right now in the NBA, as we try to find the best way of navigating through a schedule that has the team simply playing too many games in too few days. Quite simply, the quality of play has been awful. The pace of the games has not changed much, but shooting is down across the board. We're talking about field goal shooting percentage. We're talking about three-point shooting percentage. Even free throw shooting percentage, not what it was a season ago. And yes, I'm going to throw in free throw percentage here to show very clearly that this is not just a case of defenses getting better. You know, bad play early in the campaign had to be expected. You know, we're talking about teams that didn't have a training camp. They only had two preseason games. They only had a couple of weeks to get into shape from an offseason of lounging around in sweatsuits. And they took the court for real when they weren't ready. But there was an assumption, and probably a logical one, that as they played more games, they would get better. Well, that really hasn't happened, so far at least. And it could mean that they won't. Let's break it down today as we put the NBA's play under the post-mortem spotlight.
Yeah, as Teddy said, some of this isn't new. We've done post-mortems on this topic. We wanted to set the stage early in the year because there was this belief that as they get more games under their belt, the quality of play would get better. Problem is, it hasn't. And it's impacting the way we handicap in a lot of different ways. It's opening up some good doors for us, but there are also some trap doors out there. We want you to avoid those traps. Here's something that we thought was alarming, and that's why we bring it back in today. If we take the two-week period that ended on Super Bowl Sunday, there were 22 games decided by 20 points or less. Last year, the same 2 weeks, there were only two decided by 20 points. That's an amazing variance. It tells you that a lot of these teams not only aren't ready to compete, which is one of the reasons why you get blown out, but once they fall behind, they stop playing. Now, that's an issue for you in terms of your databases because you want to take these box scores and have the numbers be meaningful. You can't really do that. If teams aren't competing in the second half, it's a lot of the old garbage in, garbage out. But it's not just the numbers crunchers saying this. It's not just us bringing this to you each day. The people who are actually being paid to promote the league, who take a little bit of pride in it, a guy like Charles Barkley, had some really interesting things to say on this topic last week. Let's go to what he had to say, and then we'll break that down. It's going to tell us a little bit more about just how awful things have been. His take, as a NBA fan, and yes, we wrote that down properly. He went to Auburn, so yeah, you would grammatically speak that way. I want to apologize to the fans. I cannot believe how bad the NBA is right now. They have all these built-in excuses about the lockout. Let me tell you something. If these teams played once a week, they would still suck. You watch one of these teams and they rested for a week, they would still suck. There's some real merit to this. If we look at the bottom of the league, look at the Wizards, look at the Bobcats, look at the Hornets, can we make a case that if you combined all three of those teams right now, you still wouldn't make the playoffs? That's going to sound like a real extreme. That should never happen anywhere in any professional sport where you take the three worst teams, combine them, and maybe you still can't get to 500. But yeah, there is some really terrible basketball being played out there. The players weren't ready for this schedule. The coaches weren't ready for this schedule. But something that's contributing to how bad the games are, there's another group that also weren't ready for this schedule.
Oh, yeah. Dave, no question. There's also been bad officiating, oftentimes very bad officiating. We can attest to part of that directly. The missed goaltending call at the end of Monday night's Oklahoma City-Portland game, which just happened to be called by the official that was the furthest from the play. And, of course, that particular goaltending call cost us a wager.
Can we put that in the Washington-Baylor category of things we just will not talk about anymore after today?
Yes, please.
Good. Okay.
But Washington-Baylor, we really shouldn't be talking about that, Dave.
We just did, dude.
The call was so bad that the NBA released an official statement on Tuesday admitting that their refs had made a bad call. Now, obviously, players struggle when they're playing too many games without breaks, but can this be happening to officials as well? Mark Cuban thinks so. Here's his quote. Quote, some of these officials are having really bad nights, and it's having an impact. The league's got to come out and say, okay, look, we understand that they're going through some tough travel or whatever. It's just the way it is. Otherwise, if that's not an impact, you have to wonder how some of these crews are still on the court. You know, and the problem is that we can't predict officiating. It's very hard to predict in advance, and we can't use that information ahead of time. So our focus here, well, not to do Tim Donaghy jokes or Scott Foster jokes or any of that. The goal here, what information can we use, what can we do to beat the current state of the NBA?
Biggest thing we'll do on the show every day is we're going to stay fresh, evaluating personnel, evaluating recent results that might be fluky, that the odds makers in the markets might react improperly to, put different techniques in play. We've read letters in the past weeks about both pleasers and teasers, pleasers being the reverse. You're looking for the bigger payout for games to fall away from the line. Teasers, you're looking for games to hang near the line. Teasers right now in the NBA, throw them out. But we will look for situations to get those pleasers in play because you're getting more bang for your buck on games that are much more volatile than they have been. When we get to our TNT doubleheader, we'll talk about a couple of specific players that'll show the type of things we can be looking for. Guys who are coming back from injuries, who missed a little bit of time, guess what we're finding out? They're coming back fresher than the guys they're up against. A couple of key players that'll impact tonight's games. So that's what we're going to do on a daily basis. Look for the fresh info. Look for short-term trends where the markets are going to adjust properly. But the best advice at all isn't from a standpoint of predicting tonight. It's of what to do with this season when it's over. Throw it out. We know a lot of you love to have these nice, concise databases where you've got every year in play. No, we would not use any of the results from this year to predict next season. This schedule is going to be a one-off. The players don't like it. The coaches don't like it. The quality of play is awful. It's not going to have a meaningful contribution to your database for next year. So no matter how much you like keeping those nice, clean records, hit delete.
Up next, we're going to break down the NBA on TNT doubleheader when Money Time begins.
Let me know when I'm live. Hi, everybody. This is Bridget Magnus of Getting Real Estate in Vegas, and you are watching the Vegas Video Network.
Livestream is your premier place to watch live events on the web, mobile devices, and connected TVs. See new events daily or broadcast your own at livestream.com. Livestream. Be there.
Okay, guys, it's money time. This edition of Money Time is brought to you by Covers.com. Remember, for all the key information you need in every sport, Covers covers the numbers. Let's start tonight in Boston, where the Celtics, about a 3.5-point home favorite against the LA Lakers. And this is a matchup that has really produced some very compelling meetings in the last few years, not just the two NBA Finals appearances, matchups between these two teams, but also look at last year where the road team went out and won straight up on their opponent's home floor in both games between these two teams. Now, this is a Lakers squad right now. They're certainly going through hard times in terms of their home-road dichotomy. On the road this season, L.A. 3-8 straight up, 2-9 against the spread. And if you've been trying to be proactive and say, this can't go on forever. Lakers, you know, they're a veteran team. They got to be able to start winning games on the road. If you've been proactive, you've been getting your teeth kicked in, trying to look for spots to support the Lakers because they just haven't gotten the job done in hostile environments. And it's worth noting that one of those straight-up wins did come in overtime, a game that was tied at the end of regulation. What are the issues for L.A.? Well, certainly one thing that is not being talked about in the national media, we want to talk about right here on Vegas Sports Day, that has to do with turnover differential. The Lakers' defense not forcing many turnovers at all. They're minus 3.2 in turnover margin per game. No other team in the league worse than minus 2.4. They only force 11.6 turnovers per game. No one else in the league below 13.3. Now, they're not able to exert a whole lot of ball pressure because Derek Fisher and Kobe Bryant, you know, a little bit past peak now when you look at the duo, but they're also being forced to log heavy minutes. At least the Lakers may get a chance to reduce some of those minutes tonight with Steve Blake expected to be back on the floor for L.A.
Blake's return will be crucial, not because he's necessarily all that good of a player. It's just they're the weakest team in the NBA at the point, even with him in the rotation. They may be the NBA's weakest, but without him, they don't have a true number one. We bring that up because the key to this matchup tonight, what do they do with Rajon Rondo? Rondo, one of these guys we alluded to a little bit in the postmortem, missed some time with injury, gave him a chance to get rested, get fresh. First came back against the Knicks, sloppy, a little bit erratic. But look at these last two games from Rondo. Once he got back into his playing rhythm, played 67 minutes and 36 seconds, 28 assists versus only 5 turnovers. That's a dynamic count. The Celtics plus minus when he was on the court, a plus 31 in that span. Now, one of the things we're going to do for you a lot is take the plus minus, project it out to 48 minutes so that you understand it better. Rondo's performances the last two games, basically what it meant, you would have won a full game by 22 points with him playing at that level. That's a real key tonight. If they can't stop Rondo from penetrating, and they haven't stopped anyone else. Teddy told you about those turnover counts. They have not stopped opposing point guards from penetrating. If they can't stop a fresh and energetic Rondo, Lakers are on their heels again.
Yeah, but the Lakers at least have the potential, if they can stop Rondo, because they match up fairly well in a couple of other areas. You know, you look at Meta World Peace as being a very good defensive counter for what Paul Pierce likes to do. Kobe can certainly handle Ray Allen on the defensive end of the court, but not if Rondo is beating his man off the dribble, forcing the others to scramble. So that, in my mind, the key matchup for tonight's ballgame. Another question we have to ask is, you know, how much is Steve Blake going to solve the Lakers' bench issues? On Monday, we ran a chart here, right here on Vegas Sports Day, noting how badly their bench was being outscored in road games on a consistent basis. So what happened that night? Philly beat him by 33 points off the bench, and the Lakers lost and failed to cover.
Let's go to the nightcap in Sacramento. Oklahoma City Thunder, a 6.5-point favorite over the host Kings. Yeah, difficult for TNT to sell this one. Well, no, they say, look, tune in tonight. You can watch the team with the best winning percentage in the NBA. You can watch Kevin Durant. You can watch Russell Westbrook. Yeah, the Kings, well, they happen to be the opposition, but you can watch the stars in play. You know what it gives you a chance to do, to actually sit down and watch the Thunder. All you've seen probably from Kendrick Perkins the last couple of weeks is Blake Griffin dunking on him. But when you get a chance to watch this team, you see how big of a difference he's made for them. If you're going to become part of the NBA elite, you need this toughness when you're out there traveling on the highway. He's turned out to be that missing link for them.
Well, Blake Griffin didn't just dunk on Kendrick Perkins. He posterized Kendrick Perkins. And that will happen. You know, you can, I'm sure, find photos of Michael Jordan or LeBron James or anyone else getting posterized at times. That's, you know, one of the things that makes even crappy NBA fun to watch. But when we talk about the difference between contenders and pretenders, well, the number one thing that I would say on the NBA level, the ability to play with poise on the road. And maybe to have a physical presence so that you don't back down in hostile environments. Kendrick Perkins is not going to put up monster numbers. He's not a particularly gifted offensive player. Solid rebounder, but he's no Dennis Rodman in that regard. He's not going to wow you with his stats. But he really has been the missing link for this Oklahoma City team. They acquired him last year, beginning of March. That was when he first put on a Thunder uniform. And since that time, we look at OKC on the highway, and it's a road run that you can build a championship on. With Kendrick Perkins on the road, let's see that graphic real quick, Jacob. Kendrick Perkins on the road. Regular season, 16-6 straight up, 15-7 ATS. Straight up wins on 15 different road courts. And that's not even counting the fact that they won a road game in the playoffs last year in every series. They had a road win in Denver. They had a road win in Memphis. They had a road win in Dallas. All in the postseason when the pressure gets ratcheted up even one notch more. So, you know, you look at what's going on the road this year for OKC. Games decided by 5 points or less, 6-1 straight up. This team is making the plays and getting the defensive stops and getting the rebounds that they need to in order to steal wins in hostile environments on a pretty regular basis.
Could this be one of those close games? Don't be surprised. There's some sneaky elements here. One is a team like Sacramento doesn't get that many chances to play in front of the national cameras. Get a little more motivation out of them tonight. You know, we had talked about the fact in the opener that these college kids are playing so many games on national TV. If you're the Kings, it's going to be about it. But now let's talk about another factor. Marcus Thornton, like Rajon Rondo, he gets hurt, gets to sit out for a while, comes back fresher. The last four games with him in the lineup, 3-1 straight up, 4-0 against the spread. Thornton's averaged 20.5 points per game in that span. This is a team that's got a puncher's chance to be right in the hunt tonight. They'll play as hard as they can. The Thunder might not. A little bit of a letdown after already winning the first two games on this road trip. If the public gets involved here and pushes this line up a little bit, maybe we get a +7. Yeah, we have a little bit of Kings in our pocket.
When we come back, you guys looking for some TV action in college hoops tonight? Dave and I are going to break it down for you when Money Time continues.
Traditional media believes that after about 3 minutes, you'll tune out. Most Vegas media companies think if it doesn't jiggle, you won't tune in. At the Vegas Video Network, we think both are wrong. The Vegas Video Network is the first and only live online broadcast network that specializes in insider news and expert views about Vegas. We combine great storytelling with the ability to watch when and where you want, on your computer, mobile device, or television. Discover the real Las Vegas. Visit VegasVideoNetwork.com.
Let's go to Evanston, Illinois. Tonight, where the home Northwestern Wildcats, about a 7.5-point favorite over the Iowa Hawkeyes. And, you know, this is a Northwestern team that they just went through, what, a 2-7 straight-up stretch where, you know, Northwestern is the ultimate, always the bridesmaid, never the bride team. They get their NIT invitation every year. They have not ever still been to the big dance. So, you know, that 2-7 run in the midst of Big Ten play, a major concern, obviously, for Bill Carmody and company. And we've seen the Wildcats really fight back in their last two ball games. Back-to-back kind of gutted out wins over Nebraska and Illinois. But the question we have to ask ourselves, is this a sign of a team that's starting to turn the corner? Or is this just one of those teams that absolutely maximized what they were capable of and maybe not capable of maximizing it three games in a row?
If you only saw the scores and you wanted to upgrade Northwestern, you missed something in those boxes. Because of injuries, Bill Carmody, he's down to a six-player rotation right now. That was it. Back-to-back games, only used six. Three different players had to go the full 40 in one or the other. They won the game because they executed well on offense in those two settings. But look at this defense, and this is where we're going to focus on tonight. When you've only got six players, a couple of things happen. We tend to notice fatigue at the end of a game, that, yeah, these guys wore down late. Here's what you don't always notice. Guys not guarding hard early in the game because they know they're going to have to play 38, 39, or 40 minutes. And guys afraid to give away fouls because if you've only got six players, you can't afford to be in foul trouble. That can be a recipe for disaster on defense. And you know what? It has been a disaster. Let's take a look at those last two Northwestern games. Yeah, they won them both. Some people had increased the power rating, say, yes, they're kicking it in at the right time. Let's take a look at the defense. Illinois scored 70 points and shot 54.2%. In all other Big Ten games, Illinois only averaged 62.8 and shot 43.8. That was a terrible defensive performance by Northwestern. Yet even worse, the game against Nebraska last Thursday. Now, Northwestern wins it by 10. They're only ahead by 3 in the final minute, kind of a fluky final score. But look at the Nebraska offense, 74 points, as opposed to 54 in all other Big Ten games, 51.9% shooting, as opposed to just 39.5 in all of the Big Ten games. If you didn't take a close look at Northwestern in those last two wins, you missed the fact that with that short six-player rotation, they played some really, really bad defense.
And that may be a problem tonight against Iowa because the one thing the Hawkeyes have, depth and balance. And that's two things that Northwestern really doesn't have right now. The Hawkeyes have 8 different players with at least 125 field goal attempts this season. No other team in the nation has that. All 8 average at least 14 minutes per game in the Big Ten. Obviously, Northwestern can't match that. And we look at Iowa, they also have the confidence of already winning in places. Real hostile environments like Wisconsin and Minnesota. Two brutally tough home courts in the Big Ten. Iowa, straight-up wins as road dogs in both of those venues. And kind of an interesting situational circumstance for the Hawkeyes tonight. They don't play a game till next Thursday. Have a full, you know, the weekend off. So this is their chance to let it all hang out because, again, nothing to do until next Thursday.
If you want to see a game tonight where teams are going to let it all hang out, let's go to Spokane, Washington. Major showdown out here on the West Coast. Gonzaga, the home team, a 3.5-point favorite over St. Mary's. First time around, St. Mary's blowout, 83-62 at home. Shot over 50%. An amazing count, though, of 21 assists versus only 5 turnovers. They really broke down that Gonzaga defense. On the flip side, boy, a forgettable game for Robert Sacre, the key player inside for Gonzaga. 1-for-7 from the field, only 4 points, only 3 rebounds. I think, wow, those are extremes. You think about the pride of this Gonzaga program, and the first thing that's going to come to mind for many of you is, okay, here's Gonzaga at home playing with revenge. Let's start looking. But in this case, is this the right price for these teams?
And this is one of the things I was talking about earlier in the show, talking about my focus for college hoops, is looking for mispriced teams. We may have one here in terms of Gonzaga. This is a team, they were thumped, absolutely thumped by BYU at home. They lost by 16 in the first go-round between those two teams. Revenge! Oh, we're going to go to BYU? They got pounded by 14 in the rematch on the road. You know, so you look at the top challengers that Gonzaga has faced in this conference. It's got smacked by BYU twice. Got smacked by St. Mary's once. That's 0-3 straight up. 0-3 against the spread. They've lost those games by 71 points on the scoreboard and 45.5 points against the spread. Maybe this Gonzaga team is not priced just right. And this could be a situation where St. Mary's, who didn't have all that much trouble with BYU in their home meeting against the Cougars, well, St. Mary's, could they actually be head and shoulders better than anyone else in the conference? Well, a lot of good all-around basketball and a lot of good players for the St. Mary's Gales this year. Let's show that chart real quick, Jacob. St. Mary's, number ones, I should say, in the West Coast Conference. Well, let's see. They have the conference's leading rebounder in Rob Jones. They have the conference's leading shooter in Brad Waldo. They have the conference's best point guard in terms of assist-to-turnover ratio in terms of Matthew Dellavedova. Of course, that didn't fit on the screen. Conference's best free throw shooter? Yeah, that's another guy, Jordan Page. The conference's leader in steals, Stephen Holt. That's 5 different guys for St. Mary's who lead the entire conference in one statistical category after another, one key statistical category after another, and that could really give them a little bit of an edge, being that they're catching points, not laying them against the Zags this evening.
And there's a confidence factor that St. Mary's also brings. They got a breakthrough win on this court last year. It had been a long time for them. That was something they really needed. Is there a window of opportunity, though, for Gonzaga? There actually is one. The one weakness St. Mary's has had is the defense has just been ordinary. In conference play, they're allowing 45.3% shooting, 37.4 from beyond the arc, and they've allowed more assists than they have forced turnovers in those league games. Part of that, though, is the fact that they've had so many blowouts. They haven't had to play hard late in games. So I think their defense might be a little bit better than those numbers show. But if Gonzaga is going to turn it, they're going to have to turn it by scoring and maybe trying to exploit that defense. We're not sure they can. We saw Gonzaga money out there this morning to get up to 3.5. If it gets to 4, we'll have some St. Mary's in our pockets. But not as much in our pockets as an earlier tip-off that we hopefully will have cashed before Gonzaga even tips off.
Absolutely, Dave. For the play of the day material for Thursday, we're going to go right back to the Big Ten, the game we just talked about. We're going to take a look at Iowa plus the 7.5 on the road at Northwestern. Looking for the Hawkeyes, to knock off the Wildcats or at least come pretty darn close. Don't need the straight-up win here, but I got a couple bucks on the money line in this one. Expect a competitive game. Iowa plus the 7.5. That's the Vegas Sports Day play of the day. And that's going to wrap it up for the Thursday edition. Please, guys, keep those emails coming. You've done such a good job at giving us great topics to discuss at the top of the show. Email address, of course, sportsday@covers.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Vegas Sports Day. And the community, and we talked about 100,000 viewers, there's more than that in the Covers posting forum right now. Check it out, covers.com/postingforum. Active threads and discussions going as we speak. That's all I got. That's all Dave's got. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Enjoy the games and good luck.